to you all night long. Just like an addict tweaking, I need a hit. Oh, that good, I can't function.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Can A Player Play? Your boy Pretty Tony in the building. We broadcast live every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My man, Dr. K. Diddy Esquire, the elixir of love, always riding shotgun. K. Gizzle.
Hey, 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 welcome everybody. Welcome to another Can A Player Play. Take your earmuffs off because we got a blazer for you today.
Absolutely. Before we go any further, the young man you just heard was North Star, N-O-R-F-S-T-A-R, World Movement Records artist. As always, we have to give big shout out to www.worldmovement.com. for being the official sponsors of the show, sending out mad love to the good folks over there at World Movement Publishing also. And, of course, make sure to get your copy of one of the trilogy, Who Is She and What Is She to You? Play a Step Your Game Up, a Playology. The next book will be coming up real soon. But back to the show. Can a Player Play rolling on? Every week, I try to, and as a matter of fact, we try to express our gratitude. The numbers are growing. That means y'all are listening to us. That means y'all are telling a friend. And we over here greatly appreciate it because I want y'all to keep going because I think last month was our biggest listenership in the 4-year history of the show, and we are already kicking ass. And I think we're going to blow last month's numbers out the waters. Let's go together. We appreciate it. Dr. K. Biddy, you know, he'll tell you his name. It's too long. We're going to have to talk about that like
Don't hate, congratulate. It's just elixir of love because I want to trade the membrane and the mind. You know what I'm saying? Love tonic was too common, you know, but, you know, I know that's kind of deep for some people.
All right. Today's show is called To Assimilate or Not. That is the question. Last week, I'm sure the Neighborhood Gentrification Committee will be joining us real soon. But last week, we were discussing the political arena in the show, and we had gotten into this thing about assimilation. And it touched a nerve with me, and I really wanted to talk about that a little bit, about life in America and assimilation and not assimilating. Sometimes we conform to things we believe to be wrong or ridiculous, or should we lose an identity to conform to the identity of the whole? This whole thing about free will, which is something we are supposedly born with, the idea of free-thinking people, which we know is not always true because there are countries in the world where you can die if you exhibit free will or free thinking. You are expected to fall in line, lock and step, and move to the rhythm of those in so-called authority. Should we conform? I was watching a program earlier this week where they were conducting a scientific experiment at an airport where people would check in and they laid out some red arrows on the ground. The red arrows went left, came back right, went in a circle, and came back to exactly where you started from because they wanted to see if enough people had enough good sense in this day and age in America to realize that these red arrows were bringing them back to square one. And this interested me. This sparked my thought as to how much we spend time trying to conform and how much individuality we have lost in this country when it comes to thinking outside the box, when it comes to looking at a thing and saying, no, that is not right. Now, before I go any further, I want to make sure I have some heartfelt condolences that I want to send out to the members of the Sikh temple that got shot up for no reason based on somebody's hatred of an alleged enemy, which was based upon ignorance just because they wore turbans. Sikhs and Muslims are two different brand of people, completely. And if one were to take the time to get to know that, you would have understood that instead of walking into a temple of people that are known for their peaceful nature and taking the life of good folks and children. There is a referendum that is brewing in this country. We are going to have to decide what direction we want this country to take, and are we just going to assimilate and follow lock and step with the nation of separation that's being bred, not only secretly, not only subliminally, but it is in our face. Where are we going? What are we doing? Now, going back to this experiment that I was talking about, people would, you know, show their ID, walk along this line, go left, go right, and follow the arrows all the way back to square one. They watched 10 different people do it. What percentage of those people you think really looked at it and said, this is ridiculous? No, I'm going up the steps because that is the way to the gates. At least 5 of the 10 people followed the line all the way back to square one and stood there looking confused. 5 out of 10. Another 2 people, I think, I don't remember exactly, looked at it, observed it, and had enough thought process to ask a question like, that seems to bring me back to square one. 3 other people just stood there. Now, we have got to start questioning free will. Do we really have it? Are we born to conform? Are we genetically programmed like obey, 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 to that which we are bound, we must obey? So are we truly free at the end of the day? You've been through the airports. You have seen some of the ridiculousness of what we encounter at the airport for a false sense of security. And all of us, including myself, follow into it lockstep, knowing that it is ridiculous for an 80-year-old lady to be having to bend over and take her shoes off, knowing that it's ridiculous to be checking a baby at 2-3 years old. When is the last time in this country have we had a baby with explosives caught? But we have fallen into this groove of ridiculousness. We have fallen into this groove of listening to people talk about, oh, you know, where is Obama's birth certificate? Who cares? You know what I want to know? I want to know what they're doing about turning this recession around where people are losing their livelihoods and their homes. What do I care about Obama's birth certificate? But some of you out there are falling in line and assimilating with this ridiculousness.
Hey, man, I just read something very interesting from Warren Buffett. He said that he could end the debt ceiling and the deficit in 5 minutes. And how he proposed to do that, you know, he said just pass a law that says anytime there's a deficit of more than 3% of the GWP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election. He said the 26th Amendment granting the right to vote for 18-year-olds took only 3 months and 8 days to be ratified, he said, because the people demanded it. And that was in, you know, 71, and that was before computers, emails, and cell phones. He said of the 27 amendments to the Constitution, 7 took 1 year less to become the law of the land, all because of public pressure. You know, this was pretty deep about, you know, getting some stuff changed right now. He said a congressman or woman, no tenure, no pension. A congressman, a congresswoman collects a salary while in office and receives no pay when they're out of office. And 2, Congress past and present future participates in Social Security. All funds in the Congressional Retirement Fund move to the Social Security system immediately. All future funds flow into the Social Security system, and Congress participates with the American people, and the money cannot be used for any other purpose. Congress can purchase their own retirement plans, just as all Americans do. Congress will no longer vote themselves a pay raise. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of the CPI or 3%. Congress loses their current health care system and participates in the same health care system as the American people. Congress must equally abide by all the laws they impose on the American people. All contracts with past and present congressmen, women are void after 12-1-12. The American people did not make this contract with congressmen and congresswomen. And also, congressmen, all these contracts for themselves, service in Congress is an honor, not a career. The founding fathers envisioned citizen legislators, so I should serve the terms and go home and back to work. That was interesting, huh?
Yes, I like Warren Buffett. But you see, in this assimilated society, social structure that we have become a part of, most people will hear that and not want to react to it because deep down inside of them, they're not sure how to react. In layman's term, if it has gone over some of your head, he is saying that by all measures and standards, the good folks up there in Capitol Hill should have to endure what we, the people, should endure and have
exactly.
to go through on a daily basis.
Exactly, because the laws they make for us and the rules they make for us are not ones which they have to live and abide by.
And yet, go ahead, brother, sorry to interrupt.
No, and he's saying if that were different, then there would be more conscientious thoughts and more concerns for the average everyday American, because they don't have to do what they do. So it makes all the sense in the world. Let them live as we do as we do, think like we think, live like we live, and then we can reduce the deficit.
There you go. We have a lot of questions. Too many of us are standing on the sideline. Too many of us are not opening our eyes and opening our ears and our conscience and our hearts to understand what is afoot. On this program, I do not spread propaganda for the Democrats, nor do I spread propaganda for the Republicans. I spread the word of we, the people, where we stand, what we need to do to make some realistic changes in this assimilated social structure that we are all a part of. Ladies and gentlemen, we are most assuredly on the Titanic. And we are standing by listening to the damn musicians play while the captain, the co-captain, the navigator and such are driving the damn ship right into the friggin' iceberg. Now, I love everybody, people of all color, but I represent those that are oppressed, those that don't have a voice. I represent the brothers who have stood on the wrong side of the tracks and they're not sure how to react because they have been institutionalized. They have been programmed and reprogrammed to believe in so-called G-code and street life and stuff of that nature, and a lot of my sisters. Let's not forget my sisters. And when I use the word brothers and sisters, it's not a black, white, Asian, or Hispanic thing. It is a us, the oppressed thing. We have got to start processing thought. We must shake this glass ceiling that's been put above us with all these inscriptions and all these writings that makes us feel less than, so we feel like, man, I don't give a fuck. You have to give a fuck. You have to give a shit. You have been lumped into the side of the global, not even the global, the social structure, where they're like, if we keep them disgruntled, and if we keep them occupied, and if we keep them intoxicated, and if we keep them flowing away from where we're trying to go, they won't see. But the truth is that when the damn tsunami hits, it ain't hitting one person, it's hitting us all. And you know who gets hit first? The have-nots. You've got to walk away from the blunt for a moment. You've got to set the liquor bottle down. You've got to set your woe-is-me attitude aside just for a moment so that we can shake up the world. Like Ali said, we have got to shake the world up. They just picked Mitt Romney, just picked his vice presidential candidate. I think his name is Paul Ryan, something or other Ryan. Obama and Biden. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, whatever you want to call yourself, independent, neoconservative, whatever fancy terminology you want to give yourself. and fall in line into a theory, a trend of thought. We are engaged in ridiculousness. We are engaged in behaviors that are detrimental to the well-being and success of this nation for future generations, because we are all caught up with woe is me. We're all being saturated and overly saturated by political ads that really, at the end of the day, have no basis in reality. The reality of our lives is that whether you're in the ghetto, the suburbs, or wherever you are, Ms. Jenkins is losing her home. We are engaged in Brother Brown is losing his home and his car. We're engaged in corporate mergers that come in and just lay thousands of people off just because they damn well want to push corporate profits higher than the profits that they're now making. We have lost the basis of what it takes for a nation to forge ahead because we have assimilated and fallen in line. The line that went left, then went right, and came back around the pole to the beginning point is what we're all doing. Look at yourself in the mirror, and what are you trying to conform to? What measure of assimilation are you going through? Are you having free-thinking thoughts? Are you trying to free your mind, remove yourself from the distractions? Turn the tell-lie vision off for a moment. Turn the tell-lie vision off for a moment and gather your thoughts. Have you ever tried to sit down for a moment and have a clear trend of thought and you're like, what the hell? Just close your eyes for a moment and see if your mind is still enough for you to have a clear trend of thought. You're trying to think about this one thing, but it seems like there is an orchestra playing in your head. It is those are the things that have been locked almost since our birth. We have been programmed to assimilate, form in line, fall in line, conform, 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 conform. Many a country, many a nation, many a kingdom have been led into the abyss because of conformity. We the people is not just a statement to throw out there that has no meaning and no emphasis. The greatest things in life are the most simple things. We the people. Three simple words, but it has meaning. Look around you. We are in full-blown chaos, not only here in the United States, but on a global scale. But yet we sit around and talk about nonsense about Kim Kardashian's ass and Botox. Forty-eight states are in full-blown drought. Heat waves are wiping out crops, which are going to affect the bottom line. Like most people don't realize how much our entire economy is based upon our agriculture sector, because there's kind of, we've gone away from that. We've gone into the bricks and clam, but at the end of the day, the underbelly of this society is pork belly, sugar, orange juice, and stuff of that makes corn. Hold on. Give me one moment here. I'm stepping down off the podium for a moment. Neighborhood Gentrification Committee, is that you, sir?
That is I. Does anybody want to buy a house?
There you go. And the real estate market. As my man. And the real estate market.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Hey, is Diddy there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful.
You know what just happened? I was on a show before I came here, so they asked me my opinion. So I was giving my opinion. Then they cut me off, right? And then they say, oh, we're having technical difficulties, but thanks to Joe for calling in.
Damn.
Oh, God. Now, people are even lying about the technical difficulties. Anyway, I just got here, so I'm looking at your description, guys, and you're saying, should we conform to things we believe to be wrong and ridiculous? Should we lose our identities when we immigrate? Our immigration, should we really stand against conformity? I think people should be true to themselves. Should we conform to things we believe to be wrong or ridiculous? That's what people do all the time, is that they conform.
Yeah.
they conform to their prior beliefs. Their prior beliefs generally are wrong or ridiculous. Should we? No. We should try to enlighten ourselves, even though the facts are opposed to what we normally believe. What's this other question, Tony? Should we have to lose our identities when we emigrate? Are you talking about when you go from state to state?
I'm talking about in general. You know, I'm talking about in conformity in a very wide scope. That was just one specific of it, based upon a comment that you made last week, and was also based upon an experiment that I observed on a TV program earlier this week, where people coming through the airport, they laid down like some arrows on the ground and made the arrows go left, go back right, around the pole, and then brought people back to square one. And that kind of triggered me when it comes to the whole conformity. Should we assimilate? If somebody immigrates to the United States, per se, and they want to hold on to some measure of themselves and what they grew up in, should it be held against them?
Oh, no. No. I think people should hold on to their respective nationalities, ethnicities, their cultures, but they should assimilate, too. If you're coming to the United States, if I go to France, and if I don't assimilate into their culture, then I better isolate myself fairly successfully with fellow Americans. If I plan to work, party with fellow Frenchmen, I better learn their culture and their language. But at the same time, I'm not going to give up my American apple pie and football for their soccer.
You know, otherwise you'd be ostracized and you wouldn't be there very long.
Well, they shouldn't keep me very long, that's for damn sure. Because I don't want to keep immigrants who are here and don't assimilate. I know people in my neighborhood who have been here for over 10 years and can barely speak more than 20 words of English. They don't want to kick back to wherever they came from.
Okay, and I'm glad you touched on that. That's one thing I love about you, Joe. You just dive on grenades. You don't give a damn.
I'm Superman. You can grenade me to death. I'm still coming back.
I love that, because that is where I was going with this. And in actuality, one could say on one side of the token, you did make a fair assessment where you say, hold on to your nationality, hold on to your culture, but at least learn to speak English if you're in an English-speaking country, is what you're saying.
Or any country. Well, again, if I go to another country, sure. I mean, these people that I know who are, as far as I'm concerned, immigrant defectives, they don't want to learn the culture. If you can't learn the culture or the language of the land that you've immigrated into, you can't watch TV, you can't read their books, you can't read their magazines. You are isolated, and this is a reason why a lot of them, a lot of immigrants, are very contentious people. I don't want to talk to immigrants. You can't have a discussion because you know me. If I have a discussion, no matter how polite I am, it's going to end up with a disagreement. With an immigrant, they take that personally. I don't want to be bothered with an immigrant.
So stay your ass at home is what you're saying. If we ain't good enough to learn our language, stay your ass at home.
Keep your ass back in Yugoslavia, Puerto Rico, Africa, France. If you can't come over here and learn the culture or encourage your kids to learn the culture, stay the fuck back wherever you fucking came from.
Now, all for the good listening folks out there, Joe, not only dropped the grenade, launched it, landed on it, and let me put the public service announcement out there. Hold on.
The viewpoints of...
The views expressed by Joe from Montana are entirely his own, which he speaks freely on Can a Player Play, and we do not take sides, but his thoughts and opinions are his own. Thank you for listening to Can a Player Play. Now, Joe, you are the reason I got a couple emails this week, and like I said, when I caught you, when I was Yes, brother, when you were talking about immigration and stuff of that nature, which is a very touchy subject in this country,
mm-hmm.
and even though, and that's what I love about you, you just speak your mind as you should, because you're somebody who tries to exercise a free will, to be a free man.
Yeah.
And you take pride in that, because we believe on this program, we believe in individuality.
Mm-hmm.
We believe
it's only a couple of Jews on the show, so why not?
Hey, my other brother.
There go another grenade. There go another grenade. No disrespect. no disrespect to our Jewish brethren out there.
They can go after themselves,
Jewish.
Too.
Kennedy is Jewish. But we're going to get into work.
But to cut you off a little bit, Tony, for a second, take a look at the Jews. They retain their Jewish identity, but they're still Americans. Unless, of course, they have dual citizenship or they love Israel too much. But, you know, that's an example.
There you go. And is it wrong so for all the listening folks out there, call in the chat room, let us hear your opinion. If you immigrate to a country, is assimilation necessary? Do you want to assimilate? You know what I mean? 646-929-2870. Those in the chat room.
Press
you
number one.
Join
us. Number one on your
phone.
Oh,
people in the chat, let me see. You got the chat room open. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You can chime in and give us your opinion. You know, Joe done launched it out there. K. Diddy done said what he had to say.
Hey, Tony, don't leave yourself out. You're pretty good at with the bazooka trigger yourself, you know, sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ooh, hold on, Joe, hold on. Let's see what this person here got to say. Kettle Fair Play, welcome to the show.
I hope it's a freaking immigrant. Hello.
Oh, yeah, hi. Are you speaking to me?
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir.
You're
welcome
the worst immigrant
the
that ever was.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on? How are you?
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
All right, Mr. Solution. To assimilate or not to assimilate, that's the question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I have participated quite a bit in the white separatist slash racist shows. We tend to talk kind of regularly. And if you're talking about with first of all, assimilation is very important. It's very e pluribus unum, from the many one. And so therefore, yes, assimilation is very, very important. And if you go back 30 or 40 years, that wasn't even the question. That was understood.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a particular country, environment, even a home, you know, you're supposed to adopt the standards of the receiving environment. But what I note, especially with whites, is they fear genetic annihilation, what's called white genetic annihilation, because white is really it's a hybrid. It's unnatural. Now, the reason I say that is because whites have developed codes called racial purity codes, which were nothing but blatant lies. So in other words, white is recessive, and any darker color is dominant, and that's a genetic fact. So the reason whites try and isolate and not assimilate is because they fear white genetic annihilation, even if they're ignorant of that particular fact, and some are. You know, that's why when I'm dealing with the white separatists, they talk about wanting to be around their own. And I say, well, hell, if your own makes Swiss cheese out of your ass, then I'm happy, a la our Jim Holmes, the guy that shot up the theater people in Colorado. Do you follow me?
We rather with you. Go ahead, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so assimilation should be normal and natural, but some people don't want to assimilate because they have this arrogant attitude, either with whites, it's race. Now, they use race as number one, and then they use race, of course, to protect their assets, usually, you know, their money and their power. But, yeah, assimilation is a normal thing. And historically, assimilation has related to language more than anything else. What has defined cultures historically has been the language. And even if you talk about the culture, the dominant theme or expression of culture is language. And since blacks and whites speak the same language, there should not be this separation but for the fear of white genetic annihilation. I know that's a little bit recondite, because a lot of people don't deal with that. They don't understand.
Right, there are some whites that fear it, but most whites don't fear annihilation of the white race because of the presence of black.
I don't think they fear it because they feel like they've done a real good job of hoodwinking the blacks, got them believing that they are ignorant and are incapable of doing better.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the show just got real good.
Oh, you're gonna have to have a you know what? Rich and I should put on a show, because he and I are gonna have different viewpoints on this. And you guys aren't going to extend it for an hour and a half. You know, an hour and a half show. It kind of goes into your time schedule. But you'd be surprised about my views on black and white.
Well, so,
shock me. I'm sitting down.
let's hear them, because I'm going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Race, class, and gender are the three areas that really move us here in this country, but yet they are the least discussed. We fear the truth. We fear the truth. There's a tremendous fear of the truth. And Eric Holder was talking about this, the Attorney General, which is a real position, by the way, the U.S. Chief Law Enforcement Officer. He was talking about this at one point, how we refuse to talk about the most important and governing features of our lives. Now, even though race is not even a scientific construct, but obviously it's been used, and just for purposes of conversation, I'm using it. But we really are all the same. We're Homo sapiens. We're the same species. And the proof text of that, as I often say, is that when any a male and female of the same species mate, the offspring is fertile. And the juxtaposition of that would be a lion and a tiger mating, which would produce a liger, which is always infertile. But at any rate, those three things, race, gender, and class, and they are very, very strong.
Well, then, Rich, you got to put on your own show, like I've been trying to get you to do for months. You and Stanley.
I'm still back on this liger thing.
Oh, that's the putting together the lion and the tiger, and then you get an animal that's about the size of Godzilla. You ought to see them.
But the operative point is, it's always infertile. That's the point. But see, whites. If you get a chance, there's a court case called Lovings versus Virginia, and I think that was decided in 1972. And all of this is relatively recent. When I talk to the racists, and I tell them, hey, most of this stuff happens within your lifetime, and a lot of times they're ignorant of it, either in their lifetime or their parents' lifetime.
Well, that's why you got to have a show. Okay,
hold on, gentlemen. We got somebody else trying to join us here to let their opinion be known. 424 Area Code, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's up?
How can we help you today? You joining in the conversation?
Yeah, I was listening to y'all talk about race.
And? Hello.
Race. Yeah, I'm here.
You had something you wanted to add, or you were just listening?
Oh no, I was gonna add something, but
I was waiting.
I was listening to the dude that was talking, and he was talking about how we deal with race and we don't talk about it, and how we're scared, you know. And that's a real thing. As far as black people, we are scared to deal with race, you know, and we're scared to talk about it because of what our grandparents and what our great grandparents, and through 500 years of slavery, what we've been taught, which was nothing. And you have to realize, once you've been oppressed for 500 years, that means 7 to 10 generations of your family have been locked up and oppressed. And then they're teaching you from an oppressed state of mind. And it's hard to be in the ghetto and you trying to tell the people that live in Beverly Hills how to live. It don't work like that. You know, and that's
we got to have a show because I got some viewpoints and a half. You throw
a
grenade, Tony. You got to come to that show because you want to take out a gun and shoot me. I'll tell you that.
No, brother. You let me know time and place because one thing. You let me know time and place, brother, because one thing I enjoy is a good, civilized discussion. On whatever subject matter.
Nobody's ever accused me of being civilized yet when it comes to discussions like this. So don't be the first, all right?
But we always say, you always hear us say, Joe.
Notice what's occurring right here.
Steel and men sharpen men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
hold on, gentlemen. We're going to take a quick little musical break. Don't go nowhere. The show has just heated up about assimilation. Non-assimilation, language barriers, race. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the show. Your boy Pretty Tony in the building. Let me make sure I let the doctor back in. Dr. K. Diddy, Esquire, the Elixir of Love. Are you there, sir?
Hey, live and in effect right here.
Can a Player Play is back in the building. The show has taken on a life of its own, which we don't mind here. You know, when you have Joe from Montana and his, we're not even, he said, don't describe him as civilized, and his controversial opinions that come on the show. You never know what might come to the fold. We have another caller that wants to chime in. We're going to let them in a moment, but we're discussing assimilation. We're discussing what is required. Is it bigger than a racial question? That's what we were discussing when it comes to assimilation, because as Mr. Solution says, there is no such thing as race scientifically. But hold on, let's see who else wants to join the discussion. This is Can a Player Play. Welcome to the show, 323.
Pretty Tony, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was actually calling to agree with what you just said. It's bigger than racial divide. And I don't understand why we spend so much time discussing races. We should be discussing what we're going to do as a nation and the dismay future, the dismal future, I'm sorry, that lies ahead. These are the things we should be discussing. This is far greater than black and white. We need, this is very critical, and it's going to eventually end up being a very cataclysmic situation, and I think that we should come together. I really love the separation of the nation quote that you always state, because it's very much true.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we need to be discussing, as opposed to just talking about race.
Okay. Hold on.
I like that word, cataclysmic, man. Make me want some sardines. But you know what? I agree with the young lady wholeheartedly, because we do spend too much time, you know, talking about the problems and not enough times talking about the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. Let me bring Mr. Solutions back in. Mr. Solutions, are you there, sir?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Oh, no, the young lady
Not a question. It was more or less a statement.
I heard that
we spend a lot of times, you know, we always spend a lot of time going around and around about the problems, but we spend less time trying to work on the solutions.
Well, that's true. That's because most of us have not been taught how to think logically or to be solution-oriented. Because a lot of people actually, if there's not drama, which means antithesis of peace. And when there's a lot of people have not been taught how to operate in a peaceful state of mind or condition, they have to have drama. And this is true of a lot of women. The thing of it is that.
Boom.
Mr. Solution, you just launched the grenade.
Grenade. Let me tell you something. I'm not a candy ass. Now, I'm an introverted person, basically. You won't even know that I'm around unless there's an issue that I think is important enough to speak on, because I am a person of peace. I enjoy peace, and I do what's necessary to create that peace. But what the lady just said is true, but at the same time, she doesn't understand the reality of our situation. Race, as it were, is a jurisdictional issue, is tantamount to a jurisdictional issue. And that's an issue that has to be settled before you can move forward. White people have made race a premier issue in this country for hundreds of years. That's why slavery was known as the peculiar institution. It was all about race. It was all about race. In fact, I think it was Johnny Cochran that said there's nothing in America that race doesn't touch.
Hey, Tony, I call him from 424. I'd like to have him speak. He didn't get to hear us finish speaking his little mind on race.
Oh, well, let's let the brother back in.
Now, when it comes to race, right, there's 330 million people in the United States. It's 240 million white people. It's 33 million Negroes. It's about 19 million Mexicans. You have about 10 million Chinese, Japanese, and other races to make 340 million people. In the book of Obadiah, if you guys believe in the Bible, it tells you, I have made you small among the heathen, thou that art greatly despised. We're the only race of people that went in 500 years of slavery twice, okay? First time was in Egypt. Second time was in the United States. We don't talk about that type of stuff. We sweep that under the rug. We're the only race of people that's the majority that's sitting up in church on Sunday. the Romans worshiped the sun on Sunday. The real Jews that came through 450 years of slavery, we didn't do that type of stuff. Through slavery, through being placed in all these different lands, now we're going through that type of stuff. And then we didn't got away from our customs and everything. Everything that the way we worship and the way we live, we didn't step so far away from that. We worship Christmas. We celebrate Thanksgiving. The killing of 77 million Seminole Indians. We were taught that a white man discovered America. When you go into Miles, Illinois, which is in the bottom part of Coyote, Illinois, it's an Indian town where my family's from. It's pyramids all in the ground. You can go in there and Google it. It's pyramids that's been over there for 2,000-3,000 years ago. Okay, black people. But they don't talk about none of that type of stuff. So
oh,
like,
I
got to
get
it.
I got to get that. I
got
to get
that. We got history books that are coming up teaching about 500 years of slavery. And even now, when you ask a black kid, tell me about our history, he can only go back 500 years. 500 years
of slavery.
But they don't
teach you
that we ruled Russia and Europe for 1,500 years, Russia 1,300 years. All of those parts of the area, even in Europe and Italy and all these different places, they got the black statues. They got the black Madonna and all these different things. Over here in the United States, which is the new world, all this stuff is new, and image shapes the reality. They gave us a picture of a white Jesus. We didn't question that. We should have said, well, damn, if it's a picture of a white Jesus with blue eyes, how does a black man have a white God if we're here first? So our grandparents were beat into slavery. They used to kill us in groups of 13 in front of 500 to a million people. They did this to us every week, okay, like a show. But we're taught to forget that. And as black people, we done forgot all about that. And now it's like we already skating on thin ice. They building FEMA trains for slavery for us. They doing all kind of stuff. The music done got 10 times wicked. You see black people throwing up the Baphomet, which is the bullhorns now. You didn't see that before. That was white people saying. Worshiping the devil, drinking blood, putting tattoos on them and all that type of stuff. But like I said, now we black people, we started doing that more than any other people because everything and everybody follows us in this world. Everything we do in this world, everybody follows us.
So on that point right now, are you saying that we're assimilating? Because that's what we're talking about.
Is my mic open? I want to give a definition of what we're talking about, if I may. Assimilate, to take in and incorporate as one's own, absorb. Okay, he assimilated many new experiences on his European trip. So assimilate means to take in and incorporate as one's own, to absorb. Now,
and
I think we need...
No, if you're reading that, Rich, that's probably one section of assimilation. Assimilation also means to become part of the other.
Yeah, to absorb.
You got to realize now, they used to use our babies in North Carolina to catch alligators. So we were as a race of people, we were looked at as less than anything lower than a dog skin or anything, okay? We're the only race of people that's called African Americans. Even Africans who come here from Africa don't call themselves African Americans.
People call themselves Irish Americans and Italian Americans too.
We ruled Irish, the Irish and all those parts for 1,500, 2,000 years now. So
yeah, but,
the parts of the world that you see black people, that you see white people in now, those were black places at first. There wasn't no black people in
You know
what,
I'm
going to
be with 323, because 323 is bringing up a good point where you talk about, Eli, as this call is talking about, you talk about relevant stuff, but then you also have to talk about what's going to happen in the future as a result of, you know, historical perspective. That's why I like to have a show. Too bad I don't have my own. Well, I do have my own show, but I'm not paying for it. I can only have half hour at a time and not in prime time. But I would love to have a show 2 hours where
Joe,
I can give, hoo-hoo, boy.
Hold on, gentlemen.
I just extended the show by 30 minutes. So, Joe, you do have a little bit of time.
I want to extend something that Joe just said. What's going to happen to American blacks because of their inappropriate behavior? They're going to be completely marginalized. Because blacks have not learned or refused to learn, American blacks, how to compete. People, the very notion of race, and race does have some applicable application. Race means a competition. That's what the word means, to compete against another identifiable foe or person or people. And so what happens is blacks
are identifiable.
Blacks were identified.
If we get together in the park, the police are coming no matter what.
If you
get together in the park, the police are going to come and pass by, and they're going to look at it as they're playing a game. But 20 black people were considered a gang in the United States.
And that's because you have no damn power. You have no power. You have no respect. Blacks are always expecting fire to come and save them instead of coagulating and polarizing and creating power.
But
that
is
how
you create power when there's so many divisions created for power.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish this thought. Blacks don't operate as a team.
True. Okay. You can't operate as a team when you got somebody that's refereeing.
Okay. Now I'm going to pick up the banner because Joe. I mean,
go ahead, Joe.
Tony
the floor is yours for a moment. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Okay. Let's. Since we only have a half an hour, let me throw not just grenades. Let me throw some neutron bombs. I don't know if they're going to blow up.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, look. Black people, it's always the argument, and there's always too much discussion about black versus white when it doesn't boil down to the symbol. The black discussion, the white discussion, is always about are blacks genetically inferior. I do not know. There's only three races, but Rich says there's no science. There's no such thing as a scientific construct of race. That I don't know either. Of course, somebody at some place and some time has divided up the human race into three races. Whether or not that can be scientifically determined, who knows? Whether or not blacks are genetically inferior, I don't know. Here's one thing, though. Okay? There's only three races. Somebody's got to be genetically inferior. It could be the white race. It could be the black, negroid race. It could be the Asian race. I don't know. The thing is that a lot of blacks are blaming whatever has happened to them on slavery. I think that has a part to do with why blacks are not assimilating. I don't think it's a major part. I think Jim Crow has a huge part in why...
Yes.
Blacks are not assimilating. But then again, blacks have to take responsibility for their own individual household lives and let their kids know, hey, you are going to face a whole bunch of people who have this idea of white supremacist privilege, which also exists in America. Whites, if they had the power, would exterminate every black person in America. Oh, let's say a lot, okay? Blacks do have to assimilate, they have to fight back, and I don't blame people for wanting to be with their own. Whites want to be with their own, blacks want to be with their own. Voluntary segregation to me is cool. Involuntary segregation, involuntary integration by the government is not cool. Blacks are worse off today than they were back pre-Jim Crow and post-Jim Crow. And we have Diddy on the line who's old enough to have lived during those times. And whether or not he can attest to what I've said is true, Diddy, do you think blacks today are worse off or better off, even though back in the Jim Crow times, things were supposedly worse?
I think they were better off then because everybody knew where they stand. Right now, you got, too many fake people. That's why they can't get together on nothing. It's worse, you know.
Okay, in terms of getting together, what about the educational levels? I think the educational levels, when I take a look at films of black, like, for example, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, they were there during the 1960s. When you take a look at the athletes then versus the black athletes now, having graduated with supposedly a college degree, can barely speak English. The blacks back then, they were supposed to be functionally illiterate. They spoke English better than blacks today.
That's just testament to everything, man. Everything has been devalued. I mean, the food. I mean, everything. The dollar. I mean, that's like par to the course. I mean, everything. All the music programs are taken out of school. Everything has been, what's that word, circumcised, castrated. Everything.
I think technology has gotten better. I think
technology. Now let me
that's exactly why I don't remember nobody's phone number. I remember one time when I remembered countless phone numbers, man, and knew them in the blink of an eye.
Now, Diddy just led into what I was about to say, that a lot of the technological advances which have been made for our betterment have also had side effects of that maybe are systematically imposed, or maybe they're just things that are coincidences of the time and age that we lived in. I'm a black man, and I'm here to tell you that over the last 20 or 30 years, because there was a time when the educational system in this country was at a point where black or whoever, like you said, could speak. Now, you've touched on a nerve where some black people would take offense to what you just said, Joe.
Oh,
but my
yeah.
brother, I think some of what you just said is the truth. A measure of the young men playing basketball, a great deal of them, and football and such, who are what our black children idolize and emulate, and the hip-hop stars, some can't hold a conversation. They would listen to a conversation such as the one that we're having right now would bore them because they could not identify to it. But I'm going to speak from where we talk over here, but if I was like, yo, what up, dog? We're coming through and we're going to represent on this whole situation right here. They could relate to that because that is the way we communicate with each other. Some of us have learned to be chameleons where we can adopt and adapt to both sets of scenarios. And some of my male black brethren are unable to do so. Somebody like Mr. Solution, who I'm assuming is a black man, would rub them the wrong way because they would call him an uppity, you know what I mean? And we keep it real, they call him an uppity nigga right now.
Why, what you trying to say? He didn't work in the field?
You know, that's what they would call him. But nonetheless, he's a brother with opinions and solutions that could probably better us all. But our defense mechanisms, going back to that Jim Crow situation, and our parents and great-grandparents and our parents ingraining certain things in us, our defense mechanisms fly so high that any
man,
time
that,
Tony,
is a nerve, that's not no never. Defense mechanism, man. That's ignorance, man.
Okay,
ignorance makes you afraid of what you don't know. And if people could come to grips with it, it's no disrespect and embarrassment about knowing something, you know, and humble themselves and seek the information, then they wouldn't have those feelings. Those feelings are self-imposed.
Now, hold on. Now, yes, it has now become a matter of self-destruction pertaining to us. But we were set up to fail.
That's
as
true.
As you always say,
that's
those
true.
That made the game made the rules to the game.
That's true. That is very true.
Now, what we're having here is that first it was, okay,
what we have it now is some people are learning that they cheat.
They cheat or they cheat?
They cheated and are cheating.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, yeah, I did say he who created the game also created the rules. But sometimes a player has a choice. Either you're going to continue to play and be cheated, or you're going to realize that that guy is cheating and you're going to adapt also one or two ways.
And which is something I wanted to get into too, the adaptation. And going back to what Tony was saying, when you're talking about you weren't talking about it. You were talking like urban colloquialisms. You know, yo, my brother, how be thee? You know, that's cool too. But when you go to work, when you go for a job for an employee, even a black employer, you're not going to talk like that. If you can't talk any standard English, you're fucking out.
Absolutely.
And black people got to learn that. Black people
And that is part of the whole assimilation process.
Yeah.
Which has been taken away because we're going to give it a name. The name which they gave it was Ebonics. So speaking Ebonics, even our children now, going back to technology, the way they text each other, BRB, LOL, LMFAO, I've spoken to a college professor who says he has kids coming into college now writing him essays with terminologies as such in their class essays, LMFAO. And he's like, what is this? And they're like, English.
Oh, and another thing, going back to what Diddy was saying about the devaluation overall, there are people going into Brown University, which is an Ivy League college. The freshmen there, this is a couple of years, about 2009, they, about 10-15% had to take, not remedial English, but had to take a buffering of their English skills. And this isn't affirmative action. These are white, black, and Asians who are going into an Ivy League college who can't speak standard English as well as they should, especially at that level. So there is a devaluation there. But when you get into black versus white, oh, are we going to lob grenades? So you've got a few minutes left? Oh, if
people y'all put it on Black Wall Street, 1929, Oklahoma, and look at the stories those people go tell. It was rich black people. They had their own homes and their own oil, and they lent to white people. There was 20,000 of them. When white people knew how much money they were getting out of the community, they started a race riot, and they killed about 2,000 black people, and it was burning them in incinerators, and they ended up chasing them to a whole other town. It was called the Black Exodus. It was in 1924.
Yeah, it's Tulsa, Oklahoma. Same thing with Rosewood. So,
Rosewood. But see, the movie Rosewood, they didn't show nothing. They didn't show the real stuff about that. And I talked to John Singleton on that. He made it look pretty and easy. That was pretty and easy how they did it on Rosewood.
Well, you have to do that.
They have the actual ladies on this show telling how they were taking. She said she was watching them kill black people like chickens. And she said, and these were black people who had money. And they were only killing them because the black people were rich. You know what I'm saying? So you got to realize now, from the 20s into now, we're mentally black people are still in slavery, and a lot of them got a way out, but there's more that's jacked up than it is out.
And that's
There you go. A few years ago, I drove through Louisiana and I drove through New Orleans. I did one of those cross country drives through Mississippi and all that, and something that moved me, that helped change me about a decade ago, was when I think I went through, I'm going to say it was Louisiana, but it could have been, you know, Alabama, because we went through a few states. And there were still ropes hanging in the blasted trees where had lynched.
If you went through Lafayette, Louisiana, I know what you saw, because I saw the same shit. They still had, like, dummies dressed up like men hanging.
Hey, is my mic open? Listen to the CB.
Whoa.
is my mic open? CB radio.
You hear
all the races you can handle.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
It's like I was telling you again, this Mr. Solution. Blacks don't know how to solve problems, the vast majority of them. Now, there is a small sliver of blacks who do know how to address problems, and there's a field of problem solving known as synecdoche. I really encourage you to look that up, synecdoche. It's critical problem stating and problem solving. There's a group of blacks known as the black elite. Okay, they do just fine, and they rarely call in. A lot of them are timid, they're scared to call in and have a conversation. Now, one of the qualifiers I have given based on the honor system for people to speak is that they have all their bills current. I'm a very practical person. They have all their bills current. They have 1 year's salary in reserve, money market, checking account, CD, whatever, and they've had an elimination within the last 12 hours. That is so they can be focused and not toxic.
Yeah,
and I'm
Tony,
not
we can't be on. We can't be on his show, Tony.
What happens is a lot of people who are talking don't have a clue because what they're saying hasn't worked for them. And I always want to see that what you're saying has worked for you. If it hasn't worked for you, you're giving me junk or theory. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. And if people are chasing you down for money, you're distracted. You can't give me good advice. You haven't even taken your own advice. So these are just some practical points that I'm sharing. If you don't have that, if you don't have a year's in reserve and your bills paid, you need to be working on it. That's the other thing. That's remedial. Dr. Claude Anderson wrote a book called what was the book, Powernomics. How many people who want to talk out of their nethermost region, their anus, how many people will just take a moment and read that book? That book is for, both for personal enhancement and for group enhancement. It's an economic book. Dr. Claude Anderson was the Undersecretary of Commerce during the Carter administration, and he was also the superintendent of education in Florida. So black people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and for lack of the desire to get knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Be now, ignorant and expect to really survive and thrive in a complicated system. This is a complicated capitalistic system. You follow me?
Now, yes, sir. Mr. Solution, and I'm glad you laid it out there like that, because that is where the whole thing, why I, you know, thought process, opening your mind up. Now, I'm going to stand and stand up for the brothers who are here not to speak for themselves, who have stood on the side of ignorance and was damn proud to be blissfully ignorant, because all I had was my machismo, and you can't tell me nothing, and if you look at me the wrong way, you might get your ass knocked out. But I have grown as a human being, going back to what I said, this cross-country trip that I took, where I saw these ropes hanging. It moved me. I had never seen that. I grew up in a urban environment, and I, you know, I heard about stuff like that, but I never saw to physically see the ropes hanging still in the tree hundreds of years later moved me. And over the course of the last 10 years, I have made an effort, coming back to that word that we're discussing, to understand what Mr. Solution is saying, the complicated nature of the society that I live in. And I didn't resort to anger anymore, and I didn't use oppression and words of that nature as my crutch anymore. I decided to seek knowledge. Knowledge will set you free. Knowledge is truth, because then you get to understand self-worth. And the first step to understanding self-worth is self-evaluation, which if you are distracted. Now, Mr. Solution told you his theory, but when you over here on this side of the fence where there's nothing but struggling and just day-to-day life, having a year's worth of salary is not possible because you're living from paycheck to paycheck, but that is still no excuse for you not to sit down and evaluate yourself as a man and as a human being and say, I must do better. Now, self-growth, self-enhancement, all these wonderful terminologies, when you're talking to somebody who is suffering and struggling, they're looking at you like, man, fuck all that shit. But if we can present it, that's where the whole playerology movement came from. If we can present it in a manner that one can relate to, it's like going back to what Joe from Montana said. If you don't present things to me in a language that I can understand, I'm not going to be able to relate. We have got to open our minds. The preponderance of ignorance is no longer acceptable, but hip-hop videos and music and culture and stuff is not known, which is what our urban culture is based on. Ain't known, is not known for pushing forward progressive thinking. It is known for putting out ignorance, which is what ignorant people can relate to. And of course, we know behind the scenes exactly who is pulling the strings. Because even though, like, a lot of people are like, oh, Diddy got his own label and such and such own his own label, you might think they own it, but the money came from the other side of the fence.
Hey, check this out. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, BET says, see, these are very simple. The road to success is very simple. It may take a little time, but consistency will pay off. Black Enterprise says, start a black business, support a black business, invest in a black business. In other words, start a black business, patronize a black business, invest in a black business. Everyone else does this. We used to take bus tours, as it were, to different different businesses, because a lot of black businesses come into existence and go out of existence without a whimper, because they generally don't have money for advertising. So instead of blacks just sitting around scratching their asses and heads, they should be planning. Without a plan, you fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's the bottom line. And what happens is, so often, see, I evaluate and critique conversations. The language that most black people use and the conversations that they have.
Rich, I'm going to cut you off for a second, okay? First off, everybody is agreeing with you. Secondly, you inadvertently cut off Tony. And thirdly, I want to cut you off. I want to say something very briefly, then get back to you, if that's okay with Tony. Here's the thing. I want to get into this. There's always going to be black versus white, and it's always going to be about, are blacks genetically inferior? And my question is, why there is such a thing as racial, again, a white supremacy and a white privilege, what are blacks going to do? How much does that affect blacks today? That's a discussion I want to get on at a later time. And, you know, I guess if you want to pick it up, or maybe allow Tony to finish his point and then to get back to you, because you did cut him off.
No, well, go ahead. Whatever. I was interjecting a pragmatic perspective.
But
go ahead. Whatever you guys want to do. I'll stand by.
Joe, hold on. I didn't get to say that again, Joe. I didn't hear that.
I said you, he had cut you off to let you either go back to you and then go back to Rich. But what I was saying was that the basis of all black-white discussions are two things. Are blacks genetically inferior? And secondly, to what degree does white racism today prevent blacks from progressing forward? Those are the two major issues of all issues which surround the black and the white.
I would even go a little bit further.
I would think it's 65%, because a lot of the blacks don't think no matter what they're going to do is going to make a difference. So that makes them think about self. So therefore, you're not going to get any unity. And,
well, that's a defeatist mentality.
It is a defeatist mentality, but it's also a realist mentality. Because if you think about some of the comments and statements you made, it still go back to the same thing. We still have not learned how to work together as a people. We've talked about
that. So the remedy to that is working with people who do not have defeatist attitudes.
Now, how many of those are we going to get together to really make a difference?
I got the answer for both of you, because I had that discussion before. Unity is actually paramount to actually winning any kind of war, whether it's open war or whether it's a covert war. But you can still work as an individual.
Revolution
I have
will
talked
be
to people. I've talked to people and I've said to them, okay, yeah, you're right, blacks can get together, yada, yada. But what's to prevent you personally from taking a look around your neighborhood, finding a storefront that's empty, and opening up a delicatessen there? Nothing.
There would be a certain measure. When you say there would be a certain measure of, I suppose, some kind of financial obstruction, but no, there would be nothing preventing that. And let's be honest. And now we're getting down into the core, because we're discussing the black.
So now the blacks don't support that business, and the blacks not going to be the first one that's going to run up there and gut the business. So we still got to attack this from, a metabolic level. We got to attack this shit from the genes, because these younger generations, man, like my brother said earlier in the conversation, that we leaning on the slavery thing as a crutch, but it's still a reality, because people were denied the whole educational thing. Now that it's available to a certain extent, they make it so hard for people to qualify for education, they just beat the spirit out of people. So now how do we pump these people back up and get the spirit back in these people, get the eye of the tiger back into these people to try to make a change?
And
that's why I disagree with you, Teddy. I'll answer that. The way you get them to change is you talk about it. Communication is actually phenomenal. It is indeed phenomenal. And it's just like I said, there's already the information. Dr. Anderson wrote the book, or you can look at him on YouTube. He talks about this.
Yeah, I took up your advice. I'm at his site now, Richard.
But, well, see, that's what I'm saying. A person who's determined to win will not be stopped. And the fact of the matter is, let me just tell you this, history is littered with empty minds and people who refuse to discontinue practicing inappropriate behavior. Now, I said this to the racists, which totally disarmed their asses, and they don't understand upfront and straightforward conversation, by the way. I said to them, the playing field, in terms of economics and sociologically, is as fair or as level as it will ever get. It is primarily black inappropriate behavior that's holding blacks back now. That is American blacks. I want to make that distinction, because there are other blacks from other areas of the world that do superbly. Okay, but it is black inappropriate behavior that is the dominant inhibitor of black success today. You follow me on that?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Rich, but also Diddy has a point, too. I don't think it all goes all the way back to slavery. I think it does stem from Jim Crow. But
well, we can also talk, I'm sorry, Joe, we can also mm-hmm. talk about de facto slavery, which includes the discontinuance of de jure slavery, which is slavery by law. De facto slavery includes everything
but
up until now.
But that's invasion of the mind, and you're right, communication is important. But the thing is as Diddy was saying, and I've noticed most black people that I've ever encountered, it's like, okay, it's your fault, Whitey.
Well, I'm just telling you now, that's stupid. That's not the case. Because the problem is, when I'm talking
brother,
to you right
what
now,
saying. You're an educated brother, and you know it's not the case. We're on this other side of the street. We got that. We got that.
But what I'm saying is, when I'm talking to you right now, I know it's only you and I that are there, and we have to work it out. Now, the point is that you can't do it. Some people are lost. Some people are not salvageable.
There you go. I was waiting for somebody.
Well, okay, this is the answer. I'm giving a solution. The solution is to find and work with people who are forward-moving, who are progressive, who want to better themselves. Jail and prison are for those other dysfunctional people who refuse to conform. You follow me?
There's a fly in the ointment, though.
Nah.
If there's
15%. I just kind of saw that, too, because
them are the ones that run over you crossing the street and shit. Hey, you guys are talking over each other.
Hold on. I got to get this out, gentlemen. Each one of us have valid points, and Brother and Mr. Solutions, I agree with you. We've got to put our shoulders to the wheel with forward-thinking people to get some changes done around here, because it's an uphill battle, because we are fighting against a self-destructive nature that has been ingrained and embedded in the brothers. But also, I disagree with your point. A great deal of brothers on the wrong side of the track due to the self-destructive, low self-esteem that they grew up with, incarceration is just a way of life to them, where if you stick the wrong way, and yeah, there might be some dysfunctional ones, and I know a few knuckleheads, yes, that should spend a lot of time in jail because they don't care about society, they don't care about humanity, they don't even care about themselves, which makes them a danger to themselves and others. But there are some who are misguided and don't have the right tools available to them. You know, you make a mistake, you get a felony case, which I think is one out of every four black men in the United States. I think it's down to three now. You no longer qualify for certain grants. You no longer qualify for certain student loans. You no longer qualify for certain programs to better yourself because of a genuine mistake.
That depends on who you are.
Yeah, but let me say this. I know brothers, and I've spoken with them here on BTR, who came out of prison and who did really well. I don't want it to appear that there isn't remediation for anybody, prisoners or whomever. because, you know, after they pay their debt to society, they still have the obligation to be free and to get a piece of the pie, as it were. Now, there are people with designated talents who could work with them, but if you want to deal with the immediacy of the problem, we're talking about how, number one, to get ahead. And it's just like I said before, you've got to look at it from a personal solvency point of view. That is, first of all, starting with you. Everything starts with the I. So am I on? Can you hear me?
Yep. Go right ahead. Right.
So number one, take care of this major issue. Get out of debt. That's very important. And Joe was speaking the other day. We didn't identify this. The most important thing is not so much how much money you have, but your debt. Your asset-to-debt ratio. That's what's most important, because if you make $5 million and you spend $5,500,000 or $5 million whatever, if you spend over the amount of money you make, you're still broke.
Yeah, and it's something I wanted to say, too, but you're getting down to 4 minutes. You might have to either go into overtime or somebody here on the line, please open up the show.
I don't have enough to say to open up a complete show. I just speak passionately on a
few. Come on, Rich. You can talk from now to midnight. So can I. So don't say that.
No. I'm just saying, you know, some shows I'm usually my interests basically stem around three areas: finance, relationships, and health.
Well, what Tony is saying, we only got 3 minutes, and I want you to open up a show, Rich, one of these days, okay? The thing is how is the guy in the ghetto gonna get his way out of there to get a job when he's a felon and the laws are against him getting
there
money?
There you go.
But we need to talk about the people who are already out of jail.
And there are people, right? You're right.
And have the opportunity and
that's
aren't doing anything
with it.
That's why I want to
open up a show, because I want to go to one show now, because there are two people in BTR specifically that I've spoken to. One's in the felon, the other one merges, not specifically felons, but he's a black entrepreneur who merges together entrepreneurs with businesses. He said he's opened up 4,000 businesses, presumably, and he said 15% of them were black. There is hope, and you're right. People got to get away from that mentality of I can't do it.
Yes.
Oh, that certainly has to be dispensed with.
Yeah.
And the way you dispense with that is to hang around successful people. If you don't know, start asking someone. The most idiotic thing
How many successful people you think, say I grew up in the hood and I do want to change and I feel that change is necessary, but my demeanor, my swagger, I wear hoodies and jeans. How many successful people are going to even give me a chance to speak to them, to show them that, yo, don't judge me by my hoodie and my jeans?
Well, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That's always been true. It's true now. Apparently, you would speak to them.
Tony.
Look, your success is always dependent on you. That's
the bottom
line. You wrote
a book. You got a show.
Yeah,
if people come to
you,
you're an example. And he's an entrepreneur. He's got his music label.
And now, those are the things that that's one of the basis. Gentlemen, we're almost down to the last minute. That is one of the basis of why I come on here every Sunday, and I try to show that no matter where you're from and what you're going through, if you evaluate yourself, if you evaluate those around you, and you realize I am not comfortable with what I am seeing and feeling, and I want to do better, that is what Playology is about. But we're out of time. I want to make sure we thank the sponsors of the show, www.worldmovement.com. I want to thank Mr. Solution, Joe from Montana, everybody listening online, all the people in the archives. We want to make sure we thank you once again. Keep telling a friend, because we are already about to eclipse the numbers from last month, which were the biggest listenership in the history of the show, and we're already close to blowing it out of the water, and it's not even the middle of the month yet. Let's go. That pumps me up. That pumps KBD up. That pumps the Neighborhood Gentrification Committee up. Tune in. Learn something. We love you. Come on. We can do this together, y'all. We can do this together. And remember, only God can judge me, man.
Only God can judge me.
Is that right?
Only God, man.
Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Really? Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own home. Since the bus dirty back, will I succeed? Paranoid from the weed, and hope it's supposed to start a focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hurt. And they say it's the white man I severe, but it's my own time doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. In all my memories, I'm seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Got a body full of bullet holes laying here naked still. I can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up